You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, one lingering topic all winter and into the spring has been Dan Herron. Is he going to report? Is he going to pitch? Is he going to retire? Does he want to be there? Herron has gotten there, and not only has he shown up and does he apparently want to be there, but he's dealing. What are you seeing from Herron this spring? It is admittedly very early, but it seems like the early returns are pretty encouraging.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the command is there. You know, here, obviously, a veteran guy who has been around a long time and knows how to kind of pace himself. And he's kind of right on schedule to be probably the fourth starter. And, you know, he seems happy. He's, you know, fitting well. He and Jared Cosart have bonded very nicely. Last couple of starts, he's worked with Jeff Mathis, who caught him a couple years ago with the Angels. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see those guys matched up every time he gets on the mound during the season. But, yeah, here's a guy who's come to as advertised, you know, a guy who is going to give you a lot of innings, obviously not overpowering. But this is the time of year in spring training where the hitters tend to hit that 87, 88, a lot better than 98, and they're not hitting him very well. So that's a very encouraging sign for Herron and the Marlins.
Is there still any question at all about whether he wants to be there, whether they look to move him, or is he at this point just saying, look, I'm here, we're going to do this?
No, I think he's bought in. And I know there's going to be rumblings whenever there's an injury. The Marlins have no interest in dealing him. They're not taking any calls on him or sending any out. You know, they fully anticipate him being in the rotation and being a big part of what they hope is going to be a fun year. So, and then from all indications, too, Herron's kind of acting like, you know, 2015 may not be his last year either. So I think he's pitching to kind of prove that he still has stuff. I think the whole West Coast thing is a thing. The past right now, if he's a couple of months in the season and the results aren't as very good, we'll have to wait to see where his head's at then. But right now, you know, he just seems to be Dan Herron that people have got to know for the last 10 years.
Behind Herron, there are obviously some questions coming into camp. It seems like there still are. Is there a leader in that fifth starter race right now?
Boy, Matthew, I don't even know if there's going to be a leader until the end of camp. And that may be based on roster spots. It may be based on, you know, hands out of options. I think he grows better in rotation than the bullpen. And so I think that is completely up for grabs. David Phelps is doing very well. Now, can he flat out win that job? Maybe, you know. So if anything of those three, Phelps is probably throwing the best right now and giving them the most to think about. But, you know, that hand Kohler Phelps race literally could come down to the end. And we've mentioned before, I think all three are going to be on the roster, whether, you know, the two that aren't in rotation are going to be thrown out of the bullpen. And I think they're prepared to go with two long guys, especially in April when the weather isn't good and pitchers aren't built up yet.
So is that maybe a situation where the fifth starter isn't necessarily the guy who clearly emerges as the best starter, that maybe is kind of the way the pieces fit together dictates it as much as just a clear, this guy's the best and the other two do something else?
Yeah, I think that might actually happen. You know, you may have a guy, let's say Tom Kohler, who threw very well last year, might, you know, if he doesn't have a substantial lead, let's say, in that race, and they think hands, let's say, they feel, and they say, we want a lefty, because they don't have a lefty, then possibly they go that route. So, again, a lot to be, you know, a lot to be determined, and health is, you know, going to be big too, obviously. But, you know, I think that is going to play into roster options and fit more than, you know, that may fall in the life ain't fair all the time category as well.
Kohler's kind of an interesting guy because he throws hard, but, you know, he doesn't always miss a lot of bats, at least relative to baseball in 2015. It's kind of funny to say a guy who struck out as
correct
many as he doesn't miss a lot of bats. But in 2015, he doesn't miss a lot of bats for throwing as hard. Is he a guy who might have a future as a power reliever? Is he a guy that maybe if you shorten him up and just let it eat, that he might have a different look in the bullpen?
Matthew, I've always kind of thought the last couple of years that he could be a closer. Yeah, I really have. You know, obviously how he throws out of the stretch and all that other stuff would come into play. But I honestly think he's got the makeup to do that and the tenacity to do that and the stuff to get a lot of outs and probably get some strikeouts too, which obviously you're going to need from your closer. So I think he could profile as that down the line. But right now, you know, I think that, you know, the way they're looking at this team, you're going to need 7 to 10 starters, and they got 10 who they are pretty comfortable with, you know, when Jose gets back in their system, and Kohler is part of that group. But that doesn't mean he won't be the long reliever, at least early on.
You're such a pro. You set me up for my next question. Give us another update on Jose Fernandez's progress, where he's at, how he's coming along.
Yeah, he's still on that, you know, Monday, Thursday program, just kind of doing his thing. You know, he's, you know, building up. We're not seeing a ton of him, which is probably a good thing. You know, he's staying busy with his rehab and not being overly anxious, I should say. And you know, he's a guy that's still that time frame, you know, just build up, kind of phase in some secondary pitches and your bullpen sessions. And, you know, we'll know more about him when we break camp, when he starts facing hitters on backfields. But for now, so far, so good. And, you know, just, you know, with him, he's so energetic. And if he were just, now that that's not that he's not in the clubhouse, because he certainly is, but, you know, if you just kind of got the feel of the game, he may kind of speed everything up and be a little over anxious. So it's probably good that he's just kind of pacing himself and doing his thing on the 2 days he throws off the mound and continues his throwing progression.
You had a piece recently. Dontrelle Willis finally announced his retirement, and it's really been a sad story over the last several years for a guy who was so much fun to watch. But you were there at the start. I'm just curious to hear your impressions. When you saw Willis emerge, what was that like to cover, to be around? Because he really was a phenomenon in a way that not a lot of guys are in baseball.
I mean, yeah, this is the closest we had, at least in my coverage experience, to a Mark Fidrich, to a guy who was quirky and energetic and won and did it so much excitement and was loved by so many people. He was really a phenomenon for about 3, 4, 5 years here as a Marlin. Obviously, 03 is when he broke in and won Rookie of the Year, and they don't go to the World Series without him. You know, there's no question. They were 10 games under in the first half, and he went 9-1 in the first half. He almost single-handedly got them back to .500, where they really took off in the second half and did all the things that they did that year. Special person and player, and it is sad that, you know, we had that 3, 4, 5 year window when you thought he was on his way to a great career, and, you know, I don't think he pitched since 11, right, in the big league. So, you know, and then just trying one more time, and he's still so beloved by people in this clubhouse, in this organization. He hit, he fielded, he was just pure excitement. And, God, it shows you how quickly things can change in this sport. But, you know, every day when you come to the park and you cover this as a reporter, or if you go to a game as a fan, you're looking for players like Dontrelle Willis to come and give you a reason to go to the ballpark. And it's really sad that he didn't go out on his terms, but what a legacy. And I certainly hope they kind of bring him back for its, you know, special day this year. And maybe that will be in the works.
Was it just a matter of a delivery that complex, just being kind of hard to keep in line and to repeat and to get back to where it needed to be when he loses his command and control? Do you think it comes down as much as anything to kind of having a delivery that's really hard to keep in line?
Yeah, that's part of it, Matthew. I think, and for some of us who have covered this team and we were there that day in Chicago, they played the White Sox. When he kind of had a rough play in the field, he covered the base and fell awkwardly. And we always wondered if he got hurt then, and never really let anyone know, you know, that he's hurt a little bit more. He, like, one of those things where he was covering a bag and stumbled and fell on his arm. And he just never, it just kind of all rapidly declined. But you know, if we were looking at mechanics, no one really knew what to do. You know, there's still people that I talked to are like, they probably should just let him be. You know, never, you know, don't tinker with it, but you know how we are in the teaching end of it. When you look to repeat arm angles and you know, the high leg kick was fun the first year, they tempered that. But, you know, that velo was in mid to upper 90s for a little while. And, you know, when the time the ball was trading him, he was like at a low 90s, high 80s with his fastball. So, you know, he might have had an injury that we weren't aware of as well.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras. And thanks.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.